Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. 27, excuse me. Proverbs 12, 27. It says, a lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Everybody say diligence. The person beside you and say diligence. By the way, Tracy, did you know that the recordings haven't been recording? Do we know what fit? Okay, thank you. As usual, all the recordings that I did on since the 4th of July on sounded like Mickey Mouse. But they rescued them. It's a minor problem, but we got it fixed. It just figures. Anyway, it says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. Diligence is man's precious possession. You know, you'd think that it would say gold found in your backyard was man's precious possession, right? Man's ability to leap over tall buildings is his precious possession. Man's wife, who is wealthy, is man's precious possession. You know, I could come up with a lot. I could write a lot of proverbs in there, sit there and just write things if I was writing proverbs, you know. But he said diligence. You know, I read that and I was praying about it, and it just kept coming up in my heart over and over and over again, just thinking about how many times in life have you wanted to quit? Has anybody here in life ever wanted to quit? I remember hearing Pastor John Osteen one day, because I felt guilty back when I first started serving the Lord, that I'm not talking about wanting to quit serving Jesus, but just, you know, just wanting to quit being nice and quit trying to do what was right. And, you know, I remember hearing Pastor John Osteen say years ago when I first started, I just felt guilty about that. And he said, I'll tell you what, he said, I quit 1,000 times. And that was just this morning. He said, but I always pick myself up by the bootstraps and I go on, you know, and he went off and preached. And I thought to myself, I'm glad that temptation is common to all men, just to quit. You're trying to get somewhere and you just say, come on, Lord, you know, can't you just pitch me a bone over here and let's just, you know, give me a little bit of something. Can't you just do, you know, have y'all with me? But Solomon, in writing Proverbs, says that diligence, your ability to stick with it, your ability to keep going forward, your ability to fight through the situation when it didn't even look like it was hopeless. It didn't look like there was any way out. It looked like there was no way you were going to make it. Your diligence to keep going, to keep showing up, to keep just being there, to keep being faithful, and to just keep doing, it's godly. Listen to me. That's a characteristic of God. We just sang it. Forever you are faithful, forever you are true, right? Forever you are mighty. That's God. He's forever. He's a God of forever. God doesn't change. He said, I'm the God who changeth not. He's a God who never quits. He's a God who keeps going. You don't have to go check to see if he's still on the throne. You don't have to check to see if his promises are still there. You don't have to go check to see if the law changed, right? He's a God who's forever faithful. He's forever true. Right? He's a God of diligence. A God who just says, we're going to keep going forward. How many times in the Old Testament you can read? I was listening to this. Now, you know, this maybe as I get older, I used to get eat anything. I could go and get those nasty burritos in a convenience store that's been in a bag God knows how long. Throw that thing in a microwave till it just spewed out on all ends. Cut that baby open and eat it and be hungry for another one. Now I even smell stuff like that makes my stomach hurt. Y'all with me? And I was thinking about the children of Israel who walked for 40 years. And God every day provided manna for them on the ground. Every day they got up, they made the manna. Every day they made the same cake. They ate the same meal. They ate the same manna every day. Y'all with me? And then the Bible says that they come to the Jordan, and that they come up to the Jordan to cross over it. And you know, and if you read the story, he told the priest to go forward with the ark, and for the people to stay about a mile, about 4,000 feet behind the ark, so they could see where it was going. Because you got 6 million people trying to move in a mass. You got to, somebody's got to have the direction, and if you were too close to the ark, you wouldn't be able to see where they were going. So he said, "Get out there, you know, about, you know, 3/4 of a mile in front." And he says, when they come to the Jordan and their foot, the priest's foot touches the Jordan, it's going to dry up. It's going to dry up, and it's going to go all the way back to the city of Adam, and it's going to dry up all the way down to the Dead Sea. And he says, and it's going to be dry ground, and the priest then to move on out into the middle of the Jordan and stand there. You with me? So God's a God who took Israel around for 40 years, walking in their sins until finally paying the consequence for their sins. Let's say it that way. Until finally they all died off. They get up there. They've got all the fresh ones, the ones that never were like their fathers, never did do what they did. They get up there to the river. He removes it all the way back, dries it up all the way back to Adam for the original sin, started all the way down to the Dead Sea where it all ended. And he takes them across. And then everybody comes around past the children of Israel, right? Gets on the other side of it. And then they get to the other side of it. And God says, okay, the manna today is going to stop. Now think of this. All that I provided for you before, all that just fell on the ground, all that you just walked out there. Now they were dying off, right? For 40 years. But every morning, I mean, how much effort could it be to walk out and gather? You just had to get up in time. Right? And you had to gather the right amount and make your bread. But it was there every morning. Now all of a sudden he says, you're going to come across into the promised land, but now they're going to eat the produce of the land. So probably the first day that they went over, you know, it was pretty easy pickings because the land was just, man, they carried the big old grapes back and all the stuff like that. So it's prosperous land. But then after a while, you know what they had to start being was diligent with their own life and their own livelihood in order to supply the food for themselves. Because it wasn't fallen man anymore. So all of a sudden, they got into the promised land, and the promised land was great for them, but it wasn't really as easy as it was before. You ever been praying and waiting for God to get you into this place, and you finally got into this place, and you're like, this is not really quite as easy as I thought it was going to be. Wait a minute. Now I have to maintain the kingdom. Okay, go over to Acts 16. So Solomon says, your diligence is your greatest possession. Or is your precious possession. Diligence is man's precious possession. So in other words, the ability to stick with it, the ability to keep going forward, the ability to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, the ability to encourage yourself, the ability to encourage others, the ability to keep looking forward in a vision, he says that's precious. Because things aren't always going to be the same. Now here's another story. Starts in the book of Acts chapter 16. And just let me, for time's sake, just tell you a little bit about it. The Apostle Paul has been sent out with Silas, and they're going around preaching everywhere. And let's just pick it up in verse 6. It says, when they had gone through Phrygia, they came to the region of Galatia. However, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go on to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So they passed by Mysia, and they came to Troas. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul, can you imagine, here he is, a man, he's traveling around, he's going out to preach the gospel, he's been sent out by the church, he's going out to do this call, preach to the Gentiles, and everywhere he goes to preach, when he sits down and has a prayer meeting, or prayer before the service, to pray, the Holy Spirit says, don't preach here. I mean, to tell a preacher not to preach is that's pretty difficult. It's amazing to me that he didn't just try it. It's amazing to me he didn't just go ahead and set up camp, test the waters, and see if he really heard the Spirit. Says the Spirit of God forbid him to. Verse 9 says, now a vision appeared to Paul at night, a man from Macedonia. He stood and he pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after they had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia and concluded that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So now he's been held back, but he has a vision, and there's a man standing at the foot of his bed, or however it appeared, a man from Macedonia, and he says, come over and preach the gospel to us. So now they got direction. Now they're high. Woo, man, we've been trying to, God willing, let's preach, we're going to go there. Woo, revival's coming. Man, it's going to be easy. We're going into the promised land. Therefore, sailing from Troas, they ran straight course to Salamanthus, and the next day they came to Neapolis, and there to Philippi, which is the remote city of Macedonia, a colony. And when we stayed at the city for some days, it was on the Sabbath day, they went out to the city, the riverside, where their prayer was customarily made. They sat down and spoke to the women who were there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. And the Lord opened her heart and heeded the things spoken to her by Paul. Now when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Okay. It says this woman was a worshiper of God, but she didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. She didn't know anything about the crucifixion. She didn't know anything about the resurrection. She didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that had fallen on the day of Pentecost. She didn't know anything about that. She just worshiped God, God Almighty. Do you know, I believe with all of my heart that there is a lot of people in America who worship God, but they don't ever go to church. They don't ever confess Jesus. They don't ever really pray. They don't ever really read. But in their hearts, they worship God. Not any God, not a rock God, not, you know, whatever. They worship Jehovah God. But we don't use that word worship because we have a connotation to worship, meaning you had to go to church. Am I right? It's the call to worship. You went to church and sang and worshiped, right? Okay. So, but I believe there's a lot of people who are they do worship God. Okay? This woman worshiped God, but when she found out the truth, it says the Lord opened up her heart and she heard the truth. And when she heard the truth, it changed her life. And she said, man, I believe. And she was baptized, and her family was baptized, and everybody gets saved. Right? Okay. So Paul's excited. He's got to be. He's got this one woman convert. Things are looking up. 16. Now it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now that was a true statement, right? But a statement said every minute, continually without stopping, can get to be annoying, right? And that's what was happening. This girl just wouldn't shut up. She just kept saying this over and over and over and over again. All through the meetings, every time anybody says, anybody have anything to say? Ah, these men of the God, way of salvation, shows the way of salvation. And then somebody just breathed, stopped for a pause for a minute. She'd say it again, she'd say it again, say it again, say it again. And as she did this for many days. Now, pretty obvious that if this girl won't shut up talking about this for many days, there's something wrong. And then Paul, greatly annoyed. Turned and said to the Spirit, notice he said to the Spirit, he didn't say to the girl, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now when her master saw that her hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them unto the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, and to receive or observe. And the multitude rose up against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with many rods. Now when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely, and having received such a charge, he put them into their inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Glory to God, aren't they glad they heard the Macedonian call? Just because God calls you to do something doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Just because God calls you to do something doesn't mean it's going to be all bed of roses. Just because God said, I want you to walk in this and calls you over to preach the gospel, and you got one lady saved, it doesn't mean every devil in hell is not going to try to stop you. Remember, diligence? Diligence. This man's precious possession. Diligence. You know, it's interesting because when Darcy told me that the tapes were messed up, because I was trying to get them out on the airways this week, and when he told me the tapes were messed up, because I told her, I said, just wait till I want to get through with all of them, then I want to run them one right behind the other, and then it couldn't be edited and everything. I already knew it was going to happen. It didn't surprise me one bit. I already knew the day I started preaching that it was going to happen. Because I heard the Lord speak to me before I ever got up and preached the message that I was going to come under attack for it. See, it's amazing that you can follow God and do what God tells you to do and still get in trouble. Not with Him, but with the world. And I began to think about something tonight. And I believe the Lord birthed this in me. Sunday's message is going to be a message called A Patriot's Call. And I want to share some scriptures with you and what I think we can do to heed the call of God. But I believe with all of my heart right now, in this, on the face of America right now, God is putting forth a Macedonian call. He's putting forth a Macedonian call to all Christians. He's hollering and screaming into the streets. He's hollering, wisdom is crying out in the streets. What are you going to do as a Christian? Just because God calls you doesn't mean it's easy. Just because you know what God wants to do doesn't mean the road's going to be easy to get it done. Because we still have to operate in the laws of this world, even though we're not of this world. I'm not talking about laws made by governments. I'm talking about laws that God has already had in place. And I believe with all of my heart that God's calling Christians to a new place in life. And as I begin to think about this, I begin to think about how in 1986, when Living Waters Church was started, today I walk in and out of these doors, and today I walk through town, and I don't even, I can barely remember the sting of what it was like in 1986. Do you know that in 1986 that I used to, that we used to receive death threats here all the time? Do you know that we used to receive all kinds of things, all kinds of letters? We used to have stuff sent to us by witches. We never did talk about it much, never did say much about it, just prayed about it, went on. Used to have the craziest, wildest, unheard of things happen. When I took over pastoring in 1993, it continued on. And then slowly, slowly, things began to change. And the whole spirit of everything began to change because we stayed diligent. Everybody looked at us that we were the outcast, looked at us that we were crazy, looked at us because we believed in the miracles and signs and wonders and believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and believed in speaking in tongues and believed in healing and believed in the gifts of the Spirit, that this church was weird. And most of y'all sitting in here, you never really walked through it and experienced it in those days. Some of you did. You know what was going on. Crazy, outlandish things happening. Things that were just the weirdest things in the world. You'd say, what? It continued through Laura and I's ministry up until about, 96, 97, and I started noticing a change. Just started to be a change. It was like we'd been diligent for so long, all of a sudden it just one thing led to the next, and one thing led to the next, and one thing led to the next. And now I walk through town, don't even think about it. Doesn't even cross my mind. I have to remind myself of what it was like in those days. Literally got to a time and place that I wouldn't let anybody open the mail. I actually talked to a time, there was a time and place I was going to get Dwayne, and since he had been in bomb disposal, to check all the mail before it came in, because we were getting the most craziest letters. And then it just stopped. And I believe, with all of my heart, that we're about to enter into a place that's going to cost you to be a Christian. I believe that we're into a place that God is calling us all to be bolder as Christians, to speak out and tell people that God is the answer and they need God in their life. And that's going to cost you. I believe that we've had it easy, and I believe that the days ahead of us, it's going to cost us. It ain't going to kill us. Didn't kill us then. Shocked me. I remember just being shocked. What? Because you see, I believe God is issuing a Macedonian call again across America today. And I believe the call is to stand up for what we really believe in. And not just say, oh, well, you know, I guess, you know, we'll just have to pray about it. There's not much we can do about it. No, I believe it's time that we start telling people that the answer to life's problems is God. That it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe that when people come to you and they say, I've got this problem, I've got this issue, I've got this thing going on, you need to send them, you need to get right with God. You need to get right with Jesus. Are you right with Jesus? It's time to start telling people what we know is the truth. I myself have been tempted to compromise. Because, you know, sometimes you just don't want to tell somebody what you know is wrong. You know? You go tell somebody, look, you need to quit doing what you're doing. You need to shut that up. You need to change the way you talk. You need to start serving God. You need to go to church. You need to read your Bible. You need to quit drinking.
Well, we don't talk about drinking now. You know, drinking, there is times that, you know, drinking is okay, and we go through this thing, and, you know, Jesus had a little wine, and there's another thing. Get off of it.
Man, there ain't no, I'm telling you. Time to draw a line in the sand and say, this is where I live my life. You want to live yourself over there? Go ahead, but when you get in trouble, don't come talk to me. Because I'm going to tell you the same thing I've always told you. You got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to talk to God. Well, you know, I read the Bible, just don't understand it. Keep reading it till you do. We got a million excuses to not serve God. Well, I was tired. My foot hurt. Got a hangnail. Just couldn't turn the page. It just seems to hurt. Got arthritis. Can't do it. My fingers are all crippled up. Don't got any... got any texture? Every time I try to turn the page, it just won't turn. Well, I can't remember where I put my Bible. I had a Bible once. Can't see. Can't find my glasses. You know, I was telling Brother Ivan one day. Here, it's been a year ago. I said, you know, man, it's so hard. It's hard to read the Bible nowadays. He says, what do you mean? I said, man, I can't see it. And I get it, and I want to look up the scripture, and I can't see what's going on. He says, Robert, listen, go to Walmart, buy one of those 20 packs of glasses. Put them everywhere, everywhere. He said, when you lose them all, then go get you another 20 pack. And I said, man, that's wisdom. And I put them in my pocket, and I break them, and then I tell Lord, I need another 20 pack, you know, go get them. The point is that the world is sitting here teetering. And they're all trying to be so wishy-washy, so namby-pamby with everybody. Just tippy-toeing around all the issues when we know what the truth is. You got to get God in your life. You got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't, it isn't going to go right. Am I preaching good? And the Macedonian call is going out. And it's going out. And God's calling and saying, come on over here. It ain't going to be easy. But I want you to preach the gospel even if they're going to beat you with many stripes. I want you to tell people the right way to live. I want you to cast out the devil out of the girl over there. I don't care if it makes the guys mad because they're not earning their money. You see, it had to do with money. They didn't care that the girl was demon-possessed and headed for hell. It was about money. And I'm actually wanting somebody to send me a death letter. I'm actually turning around and saying, come on. I want to irritate somebody so much that they're going to tell me they want to kill me. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, like, I want to stir the pot again. My gosh, if I'm the normal now, something's wrong. I got to stir myself up. Right? I'm not talking about crazy. I'm not talking about wacky. I'm not talking about just doing stupid things. I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about people need an answer. Get right with God. Look what happened. Paul and Silas, this is at midnight. Paul and Silas, what were they doing? They're praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Why? Because they knew that diligence was their precious possession. They were going to keep being diligent in doing what God had called them to do. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the earthquake and shaking, door open, chain falling off, miracle power of God, because Christians are so turned on to God that people don't have a choice. You notice who was in charge here? Who was in charge here in this situation? Was not God in charge here in this situation? Did it look like the jailer was in charge? Didn't it look like those guys are sitting around their table that night saying, well, we showed them boys, them Jew boys come into town, and boy, we beat the dog out of them, throwed them in prison. We showed them who they ain't going to be messing with our women no more. They thought they were in charge. Y'all with me? The people who think they're in charge today, they ain't in charge. Because I know who's in charge. I know who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know who has written on his side, faithful and true. I know who's coming back on a white horse. I'm not in charge. And it says they were there and all the doors were open. Now everything's gone. I believe when Christians begin to turn to people and say, what's wrong with this nation is we no longer say, in God we trust. Come on. Everybody doesn't rise up and they say, look, oh, but you're going to offend that group. Get offended. It's in God we trust. It's time that we join arms in the ranks of the Christians in the world and stand up and say, it's God that we trust in. It's Him that we believe in. It's Jesus that hung upon that cross that has an answer for you in life. Well, but we don't believe that in our church. Get your Bible out and read it. Sorry if we offend you. This is the truth. This is the answer. This is the only way. And I believe that the earth will shake, that the doors will open, that the chains will fall off, that people will begin to see. Because look what happened here. It says, and that the keeper of the prison, verse 27, he woke out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors were all open, supposing that the prisoners had fled. He drew his sword. He was about to kill himself. Paul cried out with a loud voice, don't do yourself any harm. We're all still here. Then they called for a light, and they ran down, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Oh, look how the tide's turning here. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you see here that Paul wasn't holding a revival? He wasn't preaching. He was praying and singing hymns. Paul was just living his life out there. He was just telling people what he believed through songs and hymns. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't holding a stage performance. He didn't have the music going. He didn't have anything on his side. But he had everything on his side. To the world, it looked like he had nothing. To the world, it looked like he was defeated. Listen to me. All you have to do is to get out of your defeat is to start singing the praises of God. All you got to do to get out of your defeat is to start saying, wait a minute. What am I doing? I turn your face and start singing the praises of God. Start praying, talking to yourself. Because, folks, we win. He's on our side. The God we serve is in a charge. He's in authority. You know the rest of the story. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved. Verse 32 says, he spoke the word unto the Lord to them and all who were in the house. And he took them that same hour, that night, washed their stripes immediately, and he and all their family were baptized. I believe there's a Macedonian call going out. I believe you're going to be challenged, even starting this week. That in your office place, everywhere you're around, people you're around, whoever you're working with, whatever's going on, just start listening for it. When people say, I don't know what we're going to do, you just need to say, hey, you need to get right with God. Well, who do you think you are? Man, I'm telling you what, I'm just a sinner who got saved by the grace of God. Glory to God. I got an answer in line. His name's Jesus. See, the devil always wants to turn around and try to say, well, who are you to say anything? Because, you know, you're not really perfect. None of us are. Without Jesus, it wouldn't be. Without Jesus, we wouldn't stand a chance. Amen? And the Macedonian call is being issued out today. What are we going to do with it? And I say it's time for Christians to become bold as lions. Not obnoxious, not crazy, not wacko. Bold as lions. This is what we believe. This is what the truth is. Well, what about this and that and the other? Look, don't get me off track. This is what I believe. Here we go. That's what you need to tell people. You need to get right with God. You need to pray. You need to talk to Jesus. Do you know how many people say, oh, yeah, I talk to God, but they don't? Oh, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, well, you know, yeah, I pray. Yeah, you pray when you think your wife caught you doing something. You pray when you're, you know, can't make the payment. You pray when you're in trouble. But I'm not talking about having a relationship with Jesus. I'm talking having a relationship with God. Talking to your Heavenly Father, praying. So this is where we are. I believe it with all of my heart. You're going to, I'll tell you, there'll be persecution for it, but great. Because the Bible says whenever you're persecuted for His name's sake, great your reward. Hello. We don't want to hear it, but I'm telling you what, it's the call on our life. It's the destiny for all of us. And it's time we stir up the devil and make him so mad and say, we're in charge, you're not in charge. And have some earth shaking, door flinging open, chain falling off, move of God, amen? Look at the person beside you and say, I'm ready for that. Amen? Well, come on, Joe. I've had enough. They're all mad at me now. You can take over.